The next player is Jared Ruffhead. He's a bloke that was high in consideration, particularly within sort of the more public forums. Joshua Gibbs is asking about him. He doesn't look like he's back to his best, and his ability to generate cash is and really, I mean, at $367,000 only as a forward, he needed to be a keeper. It doesn't look like a keeper. $367,000, would you get rid of him? He's in 82,000 teams.
I don't think that there's a really quick, simple answer to this one. 72 and 83, is that what he's got the first 2 weeks?
Yeah.
82 and 73. That's actually not that bad for a key forward, especially in two losses. Do you expect Hawthorn to keep losing every week? That's an assessment that you guys can make. Look, I think that Ruffhead was able to average above 90 in a team that won a lot of games. I'm not expecting them to win quite as many this year, so you might see his average dip a little bit. I wouldn't be overly concerned by him, though. He's still well within a shot of getting a pretty decent average. So, look, it's hard not having him to know what to do. I do expect him to still improve, but I can understand why people might still move him on this week.
I mean, we've seen him average like close to 105 basically when he was playing forward pivoting through the rocks. And I think the hope was that by spending a bit more time in the midfield, he'd be able to retain similar scoring history. I certainly didn't see him exceeding that 105 mark. But considering that potentially Hawthorn might not finish in the top four based on their first two performances, and Ruffhead potentially not being able to definitively average in that premium mark, I'd be fairly tempted to trade out Ruffhead to a Will Hoskin-Elliott type or a Toby Nankervis type. Basically, if you saw yourself missing out on a particularly value mid-pricer or rookie, I'd be fairly tempted. Anyway, we'll move on to the rookies now. Would you consider keeping Pickett? This question is from Adam Hudson. Faz, do you have Pickett?
I do have Pickett. I'm a bit surprised about the question, to be honest. It would probably depend on if there's a glaring player that you've missed, then I can see Pickett as being high on the order for the chopping block. But I don't see him as being a risk of being dropped anytime soon. I think he'll just continue to get games at Carlton. You know, they're pretty clear where they are as a club, and he's a high draft pick. I think he'll keep getting opportunities for the next reasonable number of rounds at least. And as we've seen with rookies, they don't need to be consistently good scorers. They just need a spike, and they can, you know, jump up and be 250k, 270k, where it's all right to trade them out. So yeah, I don't really see Pickett as being a huge issue. Am I in the minority here?
My only concern with Pickett is that despite his talent, he's playing as a forward pocket for Carlton. And beyond that, even though he's a very dynamic player and has a lot of impact on games for the amount of disposals that he gets, overall, he's not a high disposal getter. So that means that even if he kicks four goals, he can still only score 80 off four goals, which is a little bit of a concern. So you're relying on Carlton winning enough games for him to spike in price. And then you're also relying on him scoring enough within those wins to appreciate in price. So I am a little bit concerned about his upward trajectory. Having said that, though, his job security seems good enough for me to take the punt that hopefully he has one or two good games that'll help him spike.
I think, look, we're all concerned about him on some level, that his scoring is not going to be good and his price isn't going to get up there. I can understand if you were bringing in someone like a Hoskin-Elliott for him and you had the money there, that he may be the one that you get rid of, depending on the other combination of rookies that you have. But I'm not sure that side swapping him to one of these Butler Houston sort of guys is really going to be worth wasting spending a trade on as soon as he's still playing.
All right, next question here is from Jimmy C or Jimmy Cliff on Twitter. He's considering trading in Will Hoskin-Elliott, but out is Taranto. So what I really wanted to focus on is out for Taranto, because Jimmy can't trade to Will Hoskin-Elliott off a Pickett type. So he'd have to give up a Taranto type. And this is one of the questions where sort of the player traded out is quite closely linked to the player traded in. It's rare that people had the 123k to bring in Hoskin-Elliott and chose to pass on it. So most of these guys would have to do two trades to bring him in or get rid of Taranto. Would you consider getting rid of Taranto And I'm guessing that the only reason really you get rid of Tarantle is for Hoskin Elliott.
No. Look, I can imagine scenarios where that trade did work, and that would really be around if you got enough points on the field to do as a result of it, as well as a bit of extra cash. But there's probably more scenarios where it's not really worth the trade. Sort of, you just don't get enough points or money out of it.
I think we can also pretty easily envisage a game where Hoskin Elliott really just gets shut out completely, because he does just play the outside game completely. That's sort of his whole thing. And as you mentioned, Mark kicked a couple of goals late in the game this week that really boosted his score up. If those goals don't come and he had a quiet game already, I can see his price sort of stalling. Not to say I don't want to pick Hoskin Elliott, but I just think...
Yeah, I think that we're just going to be careful not to undersell him, because his overhead marking is really, really good. He runs both ends of the ground. He's really filling in maybe for some injured Collingwood players. He looks really, really good. He looks like a number four draft pick, a lot better than Pickett, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he looks like maybe he hasn't used his talent effectively in the past, and he's about to start doing that, but he's certainly not going to be getting scoring 120 every week.
All right, last trade-out candidate that we're looking at is Jai Simkin. So he didn't play the preseason games, but made it into the final team. His talent has been talked up a lot. He's only scored 35 and 47 in his first two games. 41 is a fairly low average. Would you consider trading Simkin out for 162,000?
So, Marcus, I'm guessing he's one of your favourite players, mate, given that goal that he missed on the weekend from, 20 metres out late in the game?
Oh, I love him. What a talent.
Look, I think that if he was basement price, you wouldn't trade him, because I expect him to keep playing. I think that if you're expecting more than what he's done so far, maybe the expectations are a little bit unrealistic. I know he was talked up by Dermy and a few others in the preseason and has potential to be a really good footballer, and I think what they were saying is that North are going to keep giving him games and keep giving him opportunities, and at some point he might score well. Whether that 40 grand that you get from maybe going down to a Butler is worth it, there's a fair bit of gamble in that, and I guess if you've got nothing else going on in your side that you want to be fixing up, look, I can understand people making that move, and sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't work. I'd probably lean towards keeping him myself.
All right, we'll move on to the trading targets now. It's taken us a while to get through the trade-out target, so I'm going to try and move through this relatively quickly and really paying attention to the fact that I'm more likely to trade out a player if I think I made a misjudgment on my preseason predictions than I'm particularly attracted off a two-game sort of short burst of form. So, trading targets. The first question here is about Bontempelli. Is he potentially a top-five midfielder? Because, to be honest, that would be the only reason you'd be considering sort of side-swapping to him or restructuring to bring him in. But I know I talked him up a fair bit, and you're like, he's so highly rated, you're not really saying much by backing Bontempelli. But I didn't start him, and Jesus Christ, the bloke... 120, 140, averaging 130 after two rounds. He has me fairly nervous, Mark. Would you trade into Bont?
He is like the definition of the CD love child. He always scores well, like really, really late in games. He doesn't really get that much of the ball, but just is super, super effective with everything that he does and kicks goals and score assists. And yeah, he's an absolute superstar. And he will average over 120. Whether it's this season or next season or the one after, I guess you just got to get on at the right time. And yeah, he's a good chance of doing it this year.
So the main guys I'd consider trading to him based on who we've talked about so far are Ablett, Hanbury, and if you're restructuring.
I'm not sure that they're the number one guy that I'd go to with those ones, but if you're looking for someone with the upside and someone that's fun to barrack for, then yeah, Bont is a lot more exciting than Hanbury.
So you're more likely to pick him now though after two rounds than you were at the start of the season?
Yeah, absolutely, because I mean, he was in the moon boot. He had an interrupted preseason. Some players are just good enough that it doesn't matter, and like Selwood's one of them, and Bont might be one of them too.
If it works for your team, I think he's an absolutely fantastic. Anyway, we'll move on to the next question here. Robert Bobby Gain is asking about whether or not we should be applying a burn cream before or after we trade in Higgins. Faz, what are your thoughts on Higgins? He was only started in less than 10,000 teams. 426,000 was his starting price, and his break even is 6 after a starting score of 111 and 130. Now, my worry is that all of Boomer's points have sort of been funneled into Higgins. Can he keep this up?
There's obviously 10,000 people who are doing Supercoach for the first year this time. haven't experienced the ups and downs of Higgins. But, yeah, absolutely. He could be absolute jet this year. Looks to be playing a lot more midfield minutes, as you mentioned. No Boomer in the team. And we all know how reliant North Melbourne were on Boomer. He plays a similar role, gets forward and kicks goals. So, yeah, I can definitely see it happening. I don't think North will win a whole lot of games this year. They're probably a bit better than I thought they were, but still not very good. I'd be a bit reluctant to pick a player that's playing for probably a bottom six team. But I guess his price is not huge. And he is in the forward line, isn't he? So you're not quite as... You don't need him to be an absolute sort of 115 average player like you would if he was in the midfield. So, yeah, I can see a lot of reasons to pick Higgins, but it's probably just my, memory of what it's been like with Higgins in the past that sort of just sort of has it as an automatic no for me.
And that's what I discussed in the preseason, mate. But a bit like the Bombers last year, like, even if they're bad, someone has to score their points. And Higgins, like, there's not really many other players at North that are going to be stealing points from him, like maybe Goldstein. He could definitely play a number one midfielder role. And in that first half on the weekend, Marcus, I'm sure you were watching, he was awesome. But he did cop some attention after that and did go out of the game quite a lot.
All right, next player that we're going to talk about is Mark Murphy, 432,000. He scored 130 out of 130 in his first two games. Mark, you've been a fairly big fan of Murphy. Do you think he can keep this up? We have seen his upside in the past. It's not like this is out of the realms of expectation for Murphy entirely either. It is the question of consistency. So consistency, do you see him keeping this up, or will he potentially fall back down to 105 average and not be worth his 400 price tag?
I'm a bit bloody angry, mate. Wow. Murphy and Cochin, I've been on these boys for years. They have been the staple of my Supercoach teams. Murphy and Cochin, just for the last 5 years, just keep picking them, keep saying, nope, they're absolute guns. I don't care whether they've been scoring shit for the last year. They're going to come good. Both of them post 130 pluses in the first two rounds. What the hell is going on? I haven't got any of my teams this year. No draft teams, no real draft teams, no Supercoach. Nothing. Bullshit. I have no chance of getting this right.
Jeeves. Yeah, I mean, even though I think he would have been a good starting pick, it is very difficult to recommend somebody trading in a mid-price 430k player.
I don't know, mate. I backed him. And now he looks awesome. He's had a full preseason.
Faz, so you're the tiebreaker, mate.
I'll be a no, I think, for Murphy. I think it's worth noting that the scores were against Richmond and Melbourne. Not known as having the highest quality midfield, so I think come a game against GWS or Sydney or one of the sort of rolled gold midfields, I think that's the time to really make a true assessment of how Mark Murphy's going to score this year.
Yeah. Let's talk about Clayton Oliver. 382,000, has scored 109 and 139 as a second-year player. Thoughts about him?
I've got him in draft. Awesome draft pick. Wouldn't touch him in the main game.
Agree with that. I think a lot of people don't have Murphy, so if you're really looking at mid-price, like, to me, Murphy is just an absolute no-brainer if you're comparing him to Oliver. Next question here is from BKB or at GG Hippo. Is Nankervis a must-have at his price? Like I mentioned at the start of the show, averaged 119 off his starting price tag. Playing as that number one ruck in Richmond.
I think that's a really, really good question. Is he a must-have? And I think that him versus Hoskin Elliott, like, I think Nank is maybe more of a must-have just because Nankervis is more likely to become a keeper. But I think that they're both sort of similar-ish risk profiles, even though Hoskin Elliott's cheaper. So, yeah, I mean, with Hoskin Elliott, you get the price discount, but with Nank, you get the more likely to actually average 90+. Must-have is a big call. I don't expect him to keep scoring 120. If he does, he's an absolute must-have, but I don't expect him to keep doing that. He's a ruckman. Good chance his body's going to wear down at some point. It's hard not to recommend people that don't have him to pick him, though, because, like, I've got him. I'm very, very happy to have him, and he did seem like there was a good chance that this might happen in the preseason, I guess.
I love ruck forwards. I think just we've talked about the durability of ruck so far this preseason. It's difficult to get a bloke to play 22 games. So a ruck forward to me is important at some stage of the season, whether early or late. And so considering that Ryder has slightly disappointed off His starting price tag, Nankervis, is just slightly overperformed over his starting price tag, and the flexibility that he provides has me in sort of the must-have categories.
Probably just tempered must-have. I think he's an absolute great pick in your team. Very, very happy to have him in there. But just the price profile sort of makes it tricky. We can't be saying bring this guy in and then trade him out once he's gone up in price, because we like it has to be to keep it. And we were sort of picking him to sort of hedge our bets on the Witt Sandy starting pick. So you had that cover if in case one of them went down. I think that, you know, you can't really factor all that those same things in for a trade in target, because you probably might not have set your rucks up in the same way if you don't have Nankervis, I'm guessing. So I probably don't have him as the must pick. I certainly hope he turns out to be one, but yeah, I think, you know, Mark's point about his durability may be a concern going down the track. You know, it would be surprising if a guy could go to playing a full 22 game season as the number one ruck off, you know, never having done that before. So
I think that's a fair point. All right, let's move on to the rookies rather quickly. Blackie White, or at Blackie White on Twitter. Is it a matter of trading for the two lowest break-even rookies prior to the price changes? To this, I say no. If you've nailed all your starting selections, it doesn't really matter who your lowest two break-even rookies are that are available to you. The question is, structurally, are the players that you've missed out on important enough to have to bring in, or do they present a 300K increase? If somebody's going from 100 to 350 or 400, then they might be worthwhile sort of bringing in. Otherwise, I'd say no, it's not a hard rule, definitely not.
Yeah, you got to be looking for job security and scoring potential, and have they outperformed themselves in the first 2 weeks? Because that's a huge factor that really, like, it happens season after season that rookies have their best two games in their first two games. And some rookies don't do that as well, and some rookies have their best games in their third and fourth and completely suck in their first two. So it's not as obvious as just going for who scored well and who's not scoring well.
Yep. Next question about an actual player. Braveheart, or at Carlton Jers 87, is asking whether Otten has enough job security to be brought in. So he scored 108 over the weekend, and we've seen him average 85 in seasons past. If he didn't start Otten, would he be considered a must-have based on his job security?
Based on what I saw on the weekend, yes. He ended up with Jenkins down going and playing a bit of a ruck forward role, and just showed that he can be a utility and played an awesome game for the Crows. So it'd be very, very hard for them to drop him from here.
Yep. Yes for me as well, Faz.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what you brought up, Mark, that he's shown that he can swing forward and in the ruck really sort of tempers any risk of Lever or Cheney coming back into the team and sort of forcing him out.
Now, next player is Witts, 217,000. Now, it's a little bit more difficult to restructure in the rucks because you only, of course, have two rucks. So a restructure is fairly significant in terms of percentage spent on a particular area. Is Witts a must-have after his start for the season for you, Mark? His break-even is negative 54.
Look, I don't want to be crowing here. I think it'd be easy to say, look, we got all these selections totally right. Everything's going great.
Such geniuses.
Just because our rankings have been quite good over now after 2 weeks. Like, if you had asked me last week, I might not have said the same thing. Yeah. So, look, I don't think that he's a must-have. I think, look, it'd be really, really difficult to be bringing him in this week. I think a couple of the questions that I'm getting, though, are around, would it be worth trading Sanderlands down to Witts? And I just wouldn't do that. I don't think it's worth a trade. Sanderlands should average way more than Witts. And is it worth bringing Witts in onto a bench position? Quite a few people have asked that question.
Witts onto a bench position, I think, it's the same perspective as we had prior to the season starting. 100K extra spent on the bench is just a poor bet, because what you're actively betting on is that your rucks are going to miss, and therefore his value is going to be worth more as a cover position, as opposed to the 100K that gets freed up that you could actually use somewhere in terms of an upgrade. So I'd be very reluctant to have Witts as an R3. Going back to the comparison on Witts and Sanderlands that you drew on before, Mark, I think I absolutely agree with you in terms of, will Sanderlands outperform Witts by 100K? Without a bloody doubt. Like, it seems like it might be a potentially close situation after one round, but yeah, to me, it's without a doubt. So I wouldn't be considering that. Having said that, if there's an opportunity to restructure, so if you could trade in Witz for Goldstein, for example, and then trade up. Potentially, if you have two midfield rookies, you can trade one of them up to a premium midfielder. That would be something I consider. All right, next question. Richie Young is asking about Will Hoskin-Elliott. Is he a must-have, Faz?
For me, yes. I don't have him. I guess, you know, everyone's going to be a bit different with how their teams are set up, but he seems to be the biggest glaring hole in my team. I touched on a few of his, you know, potential drawbacks earlier, but I think the style Collingwood are playing this year, they seem to be going pretty soft in the midfield, not racking up a lot of tackles and things. And if they're trying to play a hard ball, then I think Hoskin-Elliott could miss out. But if they're trying to keep it, you know, open and flowing, that seems to be really his sort of game style. So yeah, I think he's going to be a great pick.
Must have for you, Mark.
Look, I think I've covered him a fair bit over the show. The short answer is yes.
Next question here is about Marchbank. Profile wise, he's fairly similar to Will Hoskin-Elliott, so I'd say a similar yes for me.
Yeah, and I guess really the thing about both of those players is that they keep a crap scoring rookie off the field.
And by that virtue, I'm more likely to bring in Hoskin-Elliott because I'm not as sure on the top six forwards as I am the backman. So I'd pick Laird, Adams, Shaw or Doherty happily as a top four sort of defenders, whereas I've got Dalhouse and McRae up forward. And I mean, some of the key positions forward sure have done decently so far, but not locked away for sure. Next question here, Ben Smythe is asking about Houston or Butler. So we don't have either of these two blokes, Mark. Butler, 124,000, break even of negative at 89, 96 in his first round, 65 in his second. He's probably the guy that's been touted around the most. And Houston's another we talked about in the preseason. Dismissed him a little bit off the back of what Dunny talked about him in terms of job security and scoring potential. But 72 and 81 has been very encouraging start so far. And let me include one more bottom price rookie here, which is Mitch Hannon. He's 117,000 forward rookie. He scored 96 and 31 so far. I don't think any of us three have... Faz maybe has Butler.
I've got Butler, yeah.
Faz has Butler. But Mark, I don't think either of us have any of the three. Thoughts?
No, we don't. Look, I think that what Danny predicted hasn't come to fruition yet, and that was that Houston's a good player. Houston will probably play well, but wait till Pittard comes back in, and is he going to be displaced as a result of that? And I think maybe it might come down to Houston versus Burn Jones for that position this week, because Hartlett missed last week as well. In the end, he was a very late out. And with Hartlett and Pittard potentially both coming back into that side this weekend, Port don't seem the sort of side that would drop a rookie this week. They try and give him a bit of confidence, but it's going to be very tough for him to keep his position. Butler, I do think his forward pressure is locked in his position for the next, I'd say he'd get the next 5 weeks at least, especially since he's played in a couple of Richmond wins. Hardwick is going to love that. I definitely worry about his scoring potential, and when Richmond lose, I really have some really high concerns about how he will score. And Hannon, he barely touched the ball on the weekend, especially in that first half. And Melbourne did have some players coming back, but a couple of them went and hit people on the weekend, so they'll be missing games. So look, I don't think that any of them are must-haves. I think Houston probably has the biggest potential to burn us for not having him, and Butler seems like a pretty good pick, but I just don't really have anyone to trade to him.
So I'm guessing based off that, Mark, you're very tempted, if anything, to wait for Nick Newman next week.
Yeah, and even Haywood, he looked awesome in his first game.
All right, so to wrap this up, Mr. November or at Nairo Joby's question here is, what are the must-have rookies? We've talked about them a lot, but who are the guys that, I mean, would really make or break having or not having them in their team? I'm going to rattle mine off. Mine are Marchbank, Otten, and I know Hatton hasn't quite got there, but I think Adelaide look like they're a fairly decent shot for the top four. So I would be fairly confident of Hampton off 160k price tag still. You got Witz and you got Will Hoskin-Elliott. So for me...
And Powell Pepper.
Oh, sorry, and Powell Pepper. So there's six there. Mark, I'm guessing you're fairly similar because Powell Pepper was your main pipe up there.
This is where like all of the other rookies are scoring pretty terribly. I mean, Stewart, actually, as a defender, scoring a couple of 60s, looks really, really reliable and a pretty good pick. But other than that, like, their job security and their scoring potential is really crap. So there's a lot of luck involved, I think. And out of the ones that are that I don't have that I'd be interested in, it's those forward rookies that we just talked about.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Probably don't have Hampton in quite that level of, you know, to say must-haves.
Fair.
I think the other five definitely fit into there. Hampton just hasn't shown the scoring at the top level just yet. So I sort of see him as sort of probably similar to Stewart in terms of, you know, but we're splitting hairs here.
Yeah.
I think we're all quite in quite agreement on the top five and, you know, maybe Hampton, yeah.
All right, so I think we've spent quite a bit of time on this week's show already, so I'm going to skip the captain's corner this week because we've got a lot of content already. So don't forget, patreon.com/supercoachcoach if you're looking to support the show. Otherwise, join us again next week. Got a little bit more sitting on our hands to go prior to the price changes. So this week is the week to attack it aggressively, but overall, to sort of hark back onto the point that you started on, Mark, approach it with a little bit of caution as well, because potentially in the last few years, we've got the starting teams more right than we potentially thought in round two.
Yep, just to repeat what Hondo said, all that glitters in the early rounds isn't always gold. He is a Zen master of Supercoach Hondo, so if you see him around the forums, listen to his advice. My advice is, hopefully, we're talking a lot about Nick Newman next week.
Faz?
Yeah, not much to leave you with. Dangerfield for captain. I don't think we need a captain's corner. Just lock him in, eh?
Love it, love it. All right. Thanks very much for your time, everyone. And we'll catch you again next week. See ya.